Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. In the next hour, Lee offers simple tools for growth to build a stronger understanding of your own energy. Grab a pencil and get ready to call in. Here's your host, Lee Channing.
Welcome to Spirits Evolving. I'm so pleased to have you with me today. It's a cloudy, cool day here in Central Virginia, and since I usually give you that weather forecast, there's nothing happening. We have no snow and no ice, so things are actually pretty calm. Everybody seems to be a bit back at work already, even though it's the end of December. We are looking at the new year, and today's show I'm very excited about. I know you will all learn from today's show and enjoy it so much. So I'm glad you're here. I give you my heartfelt gratitude. I start each show by putting a light of gratitude around myself, my guests, my listeners, because it is such a powerful, powerful emotion. And I truly mean it. I learn from every show. I have learned, this is show number 83, if my count is right, I have learned 83 hours worth of amazing information and intuitive input over the past year and a half, so thank you for being here. I always start, as you know, with a couple of quotes, and instead of going to one of my normal little books of quotes, I'm going to read two short quotes from the information I've received from today's guest, who I will introduce in just a moment. But the first quote is under a category that he calls the mind, and it says, "The mind is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master." That is unbelievably correct and a very wise statement, and something that I think we all, we can look at it as we go into the new year, need to pay a great deal of attention to what our mind is doing on a much more regular basis. It tends to take off on its own. The second quote is under intentions. And I'm going to read the top two, and of course we'll discuss them as we go through today's show. But the first one says, "Willpower combined with mindfulness is called intention." The second one says, "Intention is the energy behind thoughts, words, and actions." Now, as you can tell, we have enough for an entire show there, and I am so pleased to welcome my guest today. He is a published Persian poet. He's a meditation master. He teaches the art of joyful living through deep relaxation, energetic breathing, hypnotherapy, and meditation. Today, we're going to talk quite a bit about making choices, what the consequences are, how to make healthier choices, choices that will help you learn more about yourself. So I'm going to let him share. He is actually calling all the way from India, so that's very amazing to me that the world is such a small place and it's so wonderful for our spiritual growth. So without going on anymore, I'd like to introduce Kambiz Nafisi. Kambiz, I'm happy to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Lee. I'm very happy to be on your show and quite happy to be speaking over the air with the audience. I know we'll have a good time.
Oh, we certainly will. And it truly is amazing to me. I was thinking right before the show just how easy it is for us to chat from halfway around the world. So I'm glad we can do that. It's such an opportunity for growth. So I was going to read, you have such an amazing history and you have, your educational background is also quite interesting. And I thought I would just, instead of me talking about what I know about your story, I thought I would just let you take a moment, if you don't mind, and just introduce us to who you are and how you got to the spiritual practices that you work with today.
Sure. I was born in the mystical land of Persia, which is called Iran in these days. The name was changed in 1942. You know, in this very old country, we were raised with the poetry of Rumi and Hafiz, and the mysticism in that land is quite similar to the mysticism of the American Indian, the Chinese, the Tibetan, and you know, anybody who goes into deep silence tends to come up with the same truth or absolute reality. And as a young boy, I had an invisible friend who happened to give me the spontaneously correct advice, the right moment. And in those days, my parents thought that this is just an invisible friend. Later on, when I went into deep silence, I realized this voice is called the witness in the art of yoga, and it's actually coming from the higher mind. One may also call it the soul. When I was 8 years old, my dad was given a diplomatic mission to Washington, D.C. That's when JFK was president. And I got to know the West and combine these two cultures of East and West. And later on, I actually gravitated towards the world of business. I got my MBA from an international branch of the Harvard Business School, later went to Columbia University in New York and the New School for Social Research in New York. I studied things like management and international affairs. And at some point when I was an international banker on Wall Street, I realized that I'm beginning to distrust the external order of things, in the sense that many of my heroes in upper management in the executive ranks seem to be very worried, living unbalanced lives, 70% divorce rates. Within Wall Street, people were doing drugs just to maintain their nervous system. And I realized that, I think that's when my Eastern background helped. I realized that I can't really depend on the external order of things as deep guidance. And I decided to follow some of the words of the Persian poets and Indian poets and go within to see if there's greater light of guidance coming from inside. And I actually, at that point, having left Wall Street, I had incorporated a computer business through which I had computerized 250 companies on the Upper East Coast of the U.S. I sold off the company and bought some white pajamas and moved to Fairfield, Iowa, to Maharishi International University. And I actually went into about 2 years of near silence. We were doing about 7 hours of meditation a day. Fairfield is an amazing town with about 9,800 meditators. And for 2 years, I dove into the Indian scriptures called the Vedantas and transcendental meditation. And having come out of that experience, I saw a very close parallel between quantum physics and the Vedic description of what the God force is. More clearly, it was the fact that beneath the atom, beneath the smallest of the subatomic particles, there is a light which is infinitely intelligent, and surprisingly, it responds to human thought and emotion. So if we get into some of the quantum physics experiments, we're now realizing through the words of Einstein and Niels Bohr and Heisenberg that beneath the atom, the dance of the electron mimics the intentions and the focused thoughts of the human mind. And so after Fairfield, I spent about 10 years going up and down India and knocking on the doors of yogic masters and also doing some deep study in modern quantum physics. And through that experience, I really came out and decided to create an international organization called the Joy of Life Organization. And we, our aim is to raise the consciousness of individuals and management teams by combining the modern with the ancient.
I find that remarkable. I couldn't even say anything. I didn't want to interrupt you, because it's what I find so amazing is that you, I'm wondering how much of your Eastern background you feel was really responsible for that, because the devotion that you had to looking inside, I find it's just remarkable. And, you know, I work with many, many people, and I don't find that kind of devotion to the spiritual self as often certainly as I would like to, but sounds like you really dove into it full speed. Did you feel like you were making a conscious decision or you were being led in that direction?
Both, really. My belief, because right now I do spiritual counseling with a lot of individuals and coaching, my belief is that God's plan for all human beings is that they lead a life based on the personality ego complex for a while, and then they get to a point where their outdated beliefs start to get them into trouble because they cannot find the bigger answers from the dimension of the ego, mind, personality. And what happens is when they cannot resolve some of the bigger issues, they literally throw up their arms and say, I really don't know how to get around this problem. And as you throw up your arms and say, I don't know, some people actually prostrate and make a prayer gesture. And right at that moment, it's kind of a holy moment, because when the ego hits the zenith of pain, it actually crumbles. And when the ego crumbles, right behind it is the soul and the deep guidance that lay within. Now, for a child who was born in the East, because that person's subconscious mind between the ages of birth and 10 had been influenced by Persian poetry, which is somewhat more fatalistic rather than scientific. In other words, when I really hit the big problem as an Easterner, I tend to just soften up, let go, and listen intensely to the present moment. That kind of listening is like you're not really listening to any particular thing. You've just got these two big ears and a surrendered ego, and you're just looking for clues.
That's a wonderful way to put it, because I think if you leave yourself open to the mystery, to the energy, to the words that can come through the spiritual self, you will find the answers. You know, you will find the next step on your path, and you word it so beautifully. I just again, thank you so much for being here. I am already thrilled with the show. I think everyone is understanding everything we're saying so far. So that's wonderful.
I think you know, most people that hear these words have had personal experiences of answers coming from a different dimension, which is outside the dimension of dry ration and logic, because Wall Street was certainly the epitome of the rational mind, the Ivy Leaguer and so forth. And then it happened in my life, and I've seen it happen in so many friends' lives, where the intellect and the salaries and the titles, all of that come to a peak, and then something tends to break down. Unfortunately, you know, some people lose a child in an accident or unexpected illness or sudden divorce or a change in profession. Something makes the mind-ego complex crumble, and right beneath it, or right on the other side, is the soul waiting. And it was at that point when I had broken up with a fiancé and sold off the computer company, just looking for another combis, but I wasn't quite sure if there was anybody on the other side of the self. In other words, I was like a clay pot that was breaking, and I wasn't sure if anybody else would arise from within the pot.
Oh, well, and we found you there, so that's wonderful. So we're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back with Combis.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Stop. step boldly forward on the path to personal and professional growth and a life of balance. SpiritsEvolving.com connects with individuals and businesses from around the world. The website is host to many tools for personal growth, including the suggested reading list, e-classes, intuitive color awareness guide, and Lee Channing's International Intuitive Advice Column. SpiritsEvolving.com offers personal and business intuitive consultations, intuitive color awareness sessions, past life regressions, animal communication consults, and environmental interpretations. Holding to the highest ideas of integrity, professionalism, confidentiality, and respect, SpiritsEvolving.com exists to help each individual in his or her own growth process and to stimulate success for each of their corporate clients. Requests for information and or consultations can be made by visiting our website at SpiritsEvolving.com or call us toll-free at 888-S-EVOLVING. That's 888-738-6584. Or call direct at 434-984-8550. Spirits Evolving, promoting greater understanding of the personal and universal energy affecting our lives at home and in the workplace.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her two-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn. So follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, no. It's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
And welcome back to Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Lee.
Welcome back. This is Lee, and I'm here today with my guest, Kombis Nafisi. And I'm very happy to have you here, Kombis. And already you have shared so much about your life that I think has touched so many people. And, you know, I want to get to sort of today's topic in a few minutes. We're going to talk about choices and consequences, but we were really sort of ending a thought about when, you know, when you really felt it was time to do your spiritual work. And I didn't know if you had some more, some ending thoughts on that process.
Well, what I'd like to say is, and I'm saying this with a smile, even the most competent, most powerful people listening, my feeling is you really don't have a choice but to grow. And there always comes that holy moment where you're looking for a bigger solution for centeredness, peace, and joyfulness, and you're not really finding the solution through the rational mind and the ordinary realms. And that's where the invisible wave world of subtle energies come in. I mean, if you really listen to quantum physics, they're telling you the obvious, which is there's a visible world which vibrates at lower frequencies, and there's an invisible world which vibrates at very high frequencies, like gamma rays and x-rays and of course the God force. And the way this game is designed on planet Earth is that people begin with the visible world, and the game is designed such that you will encounter a situation where you cannot find the solution in the visible. And the human nervous system is programmed to be able to dive in to the subtler, higher frequencies through practices like prayer and meditation. And there you start to encounter an actual presence which I later found out was my invisible friend that used to follow me around. You can call it the soul, Holy Spirit, Qi, the Chinese call it, or whatever. It's there. It's invisible because it's vibrating at very, very high frequency.
Fascinating. Now, what do you think, I'm getting off the subject again, but what do you think would be the first step? Let's just say some of the listeners today, or even one of the listeners, really decides, yes, I really want to step into that invisible force. I really want to learn more about myself. What's the first thing they should do? I mean, is it breathing exercises, hypnotherapy, meditation? What would be the first step that you could tell someone that you would suggest?
The very first step is so simple, it's almost funny. It's the very first step is somebody saying, God, I really don't know the answer to this one anymore. The minute those sentences come to your lips, I really don't know, I'm looking for guidance, there's a humility in that that allows the first crack to appear in the concrete of the ego. And the minute that crack appears, there's a kind of receptivity and humility which grows over time. And what I'm really saying is, you, for example, if you're a plastic surgeon in a general hospital, you do need to walk into the ward with your ego. But what happens is your ego starts to go under the guidance of the soul or that voice of conscience. So you're living with one foot in either world. But the very, very first step is, I don't know the answer to this one. Right. I want to open myself up and listen intensely to the moment.
Well, I agree completely. And I think it's that step of surrender that I think so many of us, our minds don't allow us to give in to that moment of surrender. We feel like we're losing something. We're giving up on, our mind is not able to control. We're out of control. We can't do that. But, I agree with you completely that ability to surrender. Many people, I know in my early days of my spiritual work, I was kind of, it was thrown at me and I was sort of forced to go, wait a minute, what is happening? I felt like I was sort of pushed into that, I've got to surrender and figure out what this, what these visions are, what's going on in my life. So I think that, you can make it easy or otherwise, again, and keep that sense of humor alive. I love the fact that you can speak with a smile and you have the sense of humor in there. But I couldn't agree more that the first step is to surrender, to admit that there's more than you may be realizing on a daily basis. So, that's perfect.
And then going on with the further steps that I took, I'm actually now going to get both scientific and also come from some ancient knowledge. What I've discovered is that as one practices certain practices, such as the pranayama or disciplined breathing, what you can do is follow certain practices that actually calm down your brain waves from the busy beta waves, which are 14 cycles per second. After about 12 seconds of, for example, Kriya Yoga breathing, you can bring down the brain waves from 14 cycles to 7 cycles per second, which is the alpha wave. It's a state of relaxed awareness. And then if you multiply the first 12 seconds by 12, after about 2.4 minutes of relaxing into the breath, you hit the theta waves, which is right on the border between awakenedness and sleep. And right around the theta waves, the body metabolism really drops. The blood pressure drops, your breathing rate drops, and as the muscles become very lax, something very interesting happens. Consciousness actually leaves the solid part of you and becomes focused on the subtle energies that are vibrating around your physical body. So what I'm saying is there's an inverse reaction going on. As you move away from dry logic and the busy brain waves towards the very subtle brain waves. Body metabolism drops, and as body metabolism drops, you actually undergo a change, and I'm going to describe this change in terms of a metaphor. You go from being ice to water to vapor. All three of these are H2O. The difference is the speed of the molecular motion, or the vibrational speed. Ice is the one named Kambiz Nafisi. Water is a state of deep relaxation. Vapor is what in India they call samadhi, which is you actually leave body consciousness, but you're very much in tune with intuition, telepathy, telekinesis, which is the ability to move objects and so forth. What I'm really saying is something surprising, which is the direct experience of the Lord comes at higher frequencies. When you go from ice to vapor, you realize that God has never left you. You were just dialed into the wrong channel. In other words, if there's a radio antenna broadcasting at 19,000 hertz and you're tuned into 750, you may say, God, why have you forsaken me? And it's not that at all. I'd like to explain it in modernistic terms. You just need to up your vibrational frequencies, and instead of being ice, which is the ego, you turn into vapor, which is the soul.
That's amazingly simple to comprehend. I just, you know, you have such an articulate, compassionate way of sharing your not your beliefs as much, certainly your beliefs, but your life experience and the things that you have learned through your own practices, which I can certainly tell have been very thorough. You know, it's wonderful that you can do that. And I think that, let me stop. We're going to take another break in about a minute, but I want to stop just long enough to make sure that I remind people, if you would like to call in, if you have a question, you certainly can call in. It's 1-866-472-5794. You can call in with a question. You can email me during the week, or you can go to Kambiz's website, which is joyoflifeorg.com. Is that correct?
Yes, www.joyoflifeorg.com.
Okay, good. I mean, we will certainly give that later, but I wanted to stop right before we took the break. So we're going to take a second break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Step boldly forward on the path to personal and professional growth and a life of balance. SpiritsEvolving.com connects with individuals and businesses from around the world. The website is host to many tools for personal growth, including the suggested reading list, e-classes, intuitive color awareness guide, and Lee Channing's International Intuitive Advice Column. SpiritsEvolving.com offers personal and business intuitive consultations, intuitive color awareness sessions, past life regressions, animal communication consults, and environmental interpretations. Holding to the highest ideas of integrity, professionalism, confidentiality, and respect, SpiritsEvolving.com exists to help each individual in his or her own growth process and to stimulate success for each of their corporate clients. Requests for information and or consultations can be made by visiting our website at SpiritsEvolving.com or call us toll-free at 888-S-Evolving. That's 888-738-6584. Or call direct at 434-984-8550. Spirits Evolving, promoting greater understanding of the personal and universal energy affecting our lives at home and in the workplace.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
And welcome back to Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing. If you have a question or comment, call us toll free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Lee.
Welcome back, and I'll give you the number once again because it is absolutely appropriate to call in. Do not worry about interrupting us. You are welcome to call in with a comment or a question. The number is 1-866-472-5794. My engineer, who's a wonderful guy, will answer the phone, put you on hold, and tell us that you are here, and you can certainly make your comment or ask your question. And today, I am so blessed to have Kambiz Napasi with me from the Joy of Life organization in India. And we actually have some place to go with this. We could just talk for the hour, but I wanted to spend a little time. Kambiz had sent me some information on a workshop that he does about choice and consequence. And I was so intrigued with that because it said some of the things that I have said for many years. We make our decisions from love versus fear. All of our decisions come from those places. We do have consequences of our choices. And I think what I'm going to do, I can't believe half the show is over already, so I want to have some time. But, Kambiz, if you would sort of just step in, when you're teaching this choice and consequence workshop, just tell me how you start and share some of the information with us.
Sure. You know, I explain the fact that victimhood is really an illusion. And the way I explain it is on two levels. Anything that I talk about addresses the physical, visible level of the world, and then the subtle, subatomic, invisible level of the world. Beginning with the visible, what I teach is that when a child is born, from the ages of birth to about 10 years old, their subconscious mind, which is the hidden part of the mind, interprets certain events. For example, if a math teacher embarrasses a student in front of the blackboard, I teach that the event is not so important. It's the perception of the child being embarrassed in front of the classroom. The perception is what then creates a belief. And if beliefs are repeated enough times in the mind, then the belief becomes a filter through which you look at life. For example, I'm lousy in mathematics, or I'm dumb, or whatever. And then as you start to look at the world through that lens, which is your subconscious mind, then your belief system starts to influence your actions. And what you're doing unknowingly is that you're living your life in order to prove your own beliefs to yourself. There was a cartoon in Psychology Today on a gravestone. It said hypochondriac, and on the saying below it said, "I told you I was sick."
Perfect.
This is what people do. They undergo experiences during childhood which programs their subconscious mind so that they believe things about their looks, their competence, their health, their beauty, and so forth. And then what they don't realize is that because your beliefs are as close to you as water is around a fish, you don't realize that you're living your life in order to prove your own beliefs to yourself. What I'm saying is in the financial area, in the physical area, your emotions, your social life, the net result of all those areas in your life right now are all coming from your beliefs. You're actually living your entire life to tell the world, I told you so. And when a counselor or a meditation teacher gives you that little bit of elevation over your belief system, you realize that everything you're doing is in order to tell yourself, I told you so, I told you I was like this. But what you don't realize is that there is no utter reality. The reality you're creating because you want to prove your own beliefs to yourself. What you don't realize is those beliefs were the perceptions of a child, not utter reality. Now that's at the physical level. At the quantum level, people like Niels Bohr and Heisenberg discovered that in the quantum experiment, the result of the quantum experiment is never independent of the consciousness of the physicist. So if the physicist comes to the laboratory wanting to observe that most of the electrons are going to swirl off to the left side of a tunnel, that's what happens. So think about how dramatic that statement is. That statement is putting a really heavy load on your shoulder at this moment. It's saying that since the world and every incident in the world is based on the basic building block of the atom, and since your thoughts and beliefs influence the dance of the atom, you should be very, very careful about what you think and what you believe, because you're literally stirring the subatomic soup that makes up this universe.
Well, that gives us a lot of personal responsibility that I think we, as human beings, can find quite difficult to accept that responsibility for your own life. I mean, that is exactly what we need to do, and that's the space that allows us to learn and grow, is just accepting personal responsibility and not living in, as you said, the victimhood, not living in the space where you live in your own old belief systems, or even by those around you who do tend to affect our lives, I think.
Yes. Yes, and you know, I want to get into something. As we talk about victimhood, I teach in my workshops the three phases of forgiving parents, because there are so many adult children out there thinking that if mom had not done this and that, if dad had said that and that, I would be president of this corporation that I'm working right now. That also is an illusion. I want to explain that forgiving parents has three phases, three major phases. Phase one, you think that dad is God, because when you're 4 years old, that elder person is God. Their word is utter reality. Phase two, you start to enter this during teenagehood, right through college. You suddenly realize that your experience is somewhat different from mom's belief system. In phase two, where most people are stuck, you experience anger and conflict with that adult God in your life, and you experience rebellion. You experience a lot of victimhood. You know, somebody who's codependent, who's gone through many, many relationships because they distrust men because of an alcoholic father, for example. Phase two, there's just victimhood and anger that it's my alcoholic father that did this. And in phase two, I'm writing a book about this actually. In phase two, what I explain is that the reason for the animosity towards the parent is that inside you there's a child that still wishes that that child could somehow change and modify and custom order their own dad from heaven. And this is actually, if you think about it, very egotistical. The child is ranting and raving and wanting to custom tailor her own dad. In other words, behind every adult child who is angry, there is a child wishing that they could change the parent. Phase three, so suddenly one day you turn around and you realize that your life is a lot bigger than just a mom or a dad. There's military service, there's university, there's Boy Scout camp, there's all these other people who influenced you. And you also realize that, you know, mom is beginning to shrink at the age of 85, and this is the only mom you have and you'll ever have. You also realize that nobody in the history of the world has been able to change another person by force. And suddenly you get this holy sentence in your head which says that what I want, mom cannot give me. I give the example of a calf in my workshops. I say, imagine a hungry calf that wants a gallon of milk, and the mother only has half a gallon to give. So I find so many angry adults are wanting mom to be a mom that she is not. And the minute there's this acceptance that, look, my mom has always been the same old mom, and it's the only mom I've got, there comes a holy moment where you just slip into phase three and you stop custom ordering a different parent. And that does it.
I was writing the note down while you were talking. You know, that's a remarkable, simple process that, you know, but, I mean, how do you get there? How do you get from step two to step three? What choices do you offer?
You get out of stage two because you realize that you're just losing energy like a punctured tire.
Right.
Every time you want mom to be a different mom, you're just losing energy. And the other thing you're doing is in the invisible realm, you're emanating this energy of being dissatisfied. And what you don't realize is you keep bringing on the same old lesson, which is, for example, a young man who's angry at mom finds that surprisingly he keeps running into girlfriends that are somehow mimicking mom's behavior.
Absolutely.
And so he's going through the same classroom over and over again without graduating. And, you know, one of the things I do in my workshops, I have people raise their hand. I say, who has gone through the same drama over and over again despite changing times, changing circumstances, and changing characters around you? And it's amazing. Everybody has their own melodrama that just keeps repeating until you drop it. And the reason you go through the melodrama over and over again is not that the God force is mean. She's so humble that the only way she can teach you is to mirror your own inner state back to you. So for as long as you haven't forgiven mom, you keep getting girlfriends that mimic mom.
Yeah, they give you the exact same opportunity. I had a unique experience once. I was conducting a past life regression, and the woman was, you know, she was under hypnosis, and she was talking about what she was seeing, and she said, "Oh, it appears to be my wedding day." She was dressed in sort of an old fashioned wedding gown, and, you know, she said, "It appears to be my wedding day," and she seemed somewhat joyful, and she said, "Oh, and here comes the groom." And, you know, in the regression, she turned around, and without saying anything, she started to very softly cry. And of course, I'm leading her, I'm guiding her through this session. And I said, "Tell me what you're seeing." And she started saying, "Oh, no. Oh, no." And I said, "You know, tell me what you're seeing." And she said, "The man I'm seeing is my husband in my current life." So she actually saw the face of the man she was marrying in her past life regression as the exact same man she was extremely unhappily married to in this life. And it was very profound for her because she felt like she had not only made the same choices in this life, but she had also seemed to have issues left over, and she had actually made the choice in prior lives, in, you know, in prior existences. So for her, that was unbelievably powerful in a moment that she, I think she found that place of surrender. I must get out of this relationship. I need to learn whatever the lessons are. So that was really fascinating too.
Yeah. Eventually, going from phase two to three, eventually the ego finally realizes this following sentence: this does not work.
Yep. You know, and I have people come to me and they go, you know, my marriage is miserable, and I say, well, why do you stay in it? And the reason is, but I love him so many times. But I love him is not an excuse to avoid your own personal growth. I mean, you know, but I love him, but I can't afford it. You know, there are a lot of buts, but I, you know, I can't live on my own, I don't have the money, but I have children, but, you know, I think if we can let some of that go and realize that we don't have to relive the same traumas, we don't have to do that. We have, as we're talking, we have choices. You know, our choices do determine our experiences. And I noticed in some of your paperwork I was looking at when you talk about, you know, if you think of your strengths, you will experience your strengths. If you think of your weaknesses, you will experience your weaknesses. And, you know, and that idea of really taking responsibility is so much easier than so many people anticipate. At least that's been my experience. You know, that once you step into making healthier choices, it does seem to get easier and easier. Life lessons will continue. But I think that when we start making very powerful, healthy choices, it grows.
Right. I always say, if CNN News were to come on and say, people of the United States, we've just discovered through unanimous vote of 400 Nobel Prize winners tonight, it has been absolutely proven that your thoughts and intentions are influencing the dance of the electron, and we're warning the people of the world that from tomorrow morning on, all of your thoughts are stirring the atoms and creating exactly the same scenario as you're thinking. If this was announced on CNN News, I think we would have a profound change by tomorrow morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you completely. You know, I agree completely. And that's an amazing thought. Not that it could ever happen, but it's sure an amazing thought, and we all have to hope that somehow, some way, more and more human beings will realize that their thoughts are powerful and that they are going out, you know, into the universe. That, you know, they are part of our lives. They are part of the planet. They're part of the universe, you know.
Yes, and you know, if that were proven ever to people's minds, then the concept of victimhood would just lose its power very, very quickly, because people would realize that they're more empowered. I think vast majority of the world population thinks that things happen to them instead of them, you know, that famous sentence, I told you so.
Right,
you know,
right.
That sentence is just the ego trying to prove its own wounds to itself.
Right, right. You know, I think that's absolutely true. We are, we're not going to take that last break. We've got too much to talk about. So we're going to skip that last break and continue to talk. And I'm looking through, I want to read every word of some information that you sent. And I know we don't have time, but one I want to sort of stop and read that we've already been touching on that. And it says, when you understand that your intentions create the consequences, you assume responsibility instead of being a victim. Now, we've already talked about that in some depth, but as I was reading through, I thought that is so powerful. And the next one that says, like intentions attract. Thus, people with similar intentions group and clan together. And I think that as we're talking about the world and CNN, et cetera, that we really should, I think, as caring human beings, as spiritual beings, intent on growth, we should look around us on a regular basis with the people with whom we share. I mean, you know, I think that's so important. I think many times we are even more touched by, affected by the people that surround us than we give ourselves credit for. And without judgment, it's hard when you try to evaluate your friendships and your relationships and your work relationships and see how they are touching your life. So do you offer a good, you know, a good exercise for that? Or I know I have some things that I suggest, but what do you suggest to sort of, you know, check out your environment, things that you can work on within your own environment and be more aware of?
Well, I mean, you always begin with the self. And my scientific explanation for becoming holy is if you start vibrating highly, then beyond a certain vibrational frequency, even without sermoning anybody, you can walk into a bank and calm down 10 people standing around you.
Right.
The way you up your vibrational frequencies is in inverse proportion to your intellectual mind and the ego syndrome. In other words, as you leave dry logic, as you leave the busy beta waves of the brain and calm down the brain waves with breathing, meditation, prayer, some sports, any repetitive action which allows the intellectual mind to retire, as the brain waves start to slow down, the subtle vibrational frequencies around the body start to go up. As that happens, you actually become holy. You become very, very calming to people around you. So my first answer is that as you work on yourself and you relinquish some of the ego pain and you listen intensely to the present moment, and you continue practices like prayer, meditation, sports, hobbies that you love, following your dreams, any of these practices, a lot of artistic endeavors, these up your vibrational frequencies, and people around you start to calm down, literally. I mean, famous stories about some executives visiting Mother Teresa, and just as they enter the room, just tears start to flow down their cheeks. They have no idea what's going on. So the first place to begin is with the self. The other thing I recommend is stop talking and just be. In other words, if you think about how children are really influenced, they're not so much listening to your advice. They're actually watching you to see how you live.
Absolutely.
So somewhere within his career, Mahatma Gandhi decided to stop sermoning his wife. And within his own ashram, he decided to just live it out instead of having any sermons.
That's right. And he became a wonderful example. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, so live out your religion.
That's right.
Live out who you want to be.
Walk your talk, as the Native Americans say. But listen, we've got a couple more minutes, and before we get too close to the end of the show, Cumbies, I want to, first of all, thank you so much for being here. But to give you some time, please tell people how to get in touch with you. We've mentioned the website, www.joyoflifeorg.com. But what other ways can they get in touch with you and maybe a little bit more information about your current work?
Okay. And, you know, I teach internationally, and the last time I was in the U.S., I chose Los Angeles as a place to teach the workshops. But, if there are people in the audience who are actual workshop organizers or event managers, they can certainly help me with events on the east or central part of the U.S.
Wonderful.
Or even in Europe. The Joy of Life family is growing pretty quickly. We're also in Sri Lanka. I was in Toronto recently. The best way to contact me initially is through the email address, which is Kambiz, that's K-A-M as in Mary, B as in boy, I, Z as in Zelda, _, N like in Nancy, A as in Apple, F as in Frank, I as in Italy, C as in Charlie, Y, @yahoo.com.
Okay.
So get in touch with me, and I have 7 levels of workshops, and going from the visible self to the invisible self, and you can catch those titles on the website that we mentioned.
Oh.
And if you have interest in being contacted, then we'll contact you. My plans are to form a workshop in the late March, April timeframe within the United States.
Well, I want to thank you again. We've got a few seconds left, and this has been an amazing show. I feel like we've just actually scratched the surface of the conversations that we could have. So I would love to have you come back on the show again, and I just appreciate your time so much. And I know it's not the middle of the day there. It's lunch here, so you know, I hope you have a wonderful evening. But please, everyone, feel free to contact him. Contact me if you've forgotten to write the information down. I will forward his email address to you. So everyone have a wonderful new year. Let's think positive, loving thoughts. And thank you all for being here.
Thank you for listening to Spirits Evolving. To contact Lee or get more information, visit spiritsevolving.com. Tune in next Friday for another evolutionary hour on Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing.